Those people that are here today, it's going to be quite an unusual class, and it's not the standard Yoga Sutra class, and I'll have to explain my situation. I'm here today in Philadelphia. I've been the last 2 days at Yoga for Life at the Govinda's Vegetarian with Hari Ashva. And Jai Dwaita Maharaj is in town, so I've been attending his classes. So today happens to be Balaram's appearance day. It's not Balaram Jayanti. Jayanti is when Krishna appeared. It's not Balaram Ashtami. I also heard that. It's not the eighth day. Balaram was born on the Purnima. So, so I went to the program tonight, and as it happens, the program basically ended right now. So, which way, left or right? Right. So I'm actually driving back home, but I have an earpiece in, and I have my two hands on the wheel. So at least for 20 minutes, at home means I'm going to Govinda's Vegetarian. I'm staying there. There's a little apartment there. So you're going to hear directions from Hari Ashva. Which way, go left, go right. And I don't have the book before me, but I can speak a little bit extemporaneously on the subject just for today. We know that the goal of yoga is to quell the mind. And when all the vrittis or not all the vrittis, but the vrittis of passion and ignorance are reasonably quelled. You can say it out loud. I mean, it's called samadhi. And the last section, we're on the first section of... We're on the first section of the Yoga Sutras, the first part, which is meditative absorption. So, it defined what yoga is, quelling the mind. And just, finished a section on different objects of meditation. Now, we discussed it. It's very interesting. It's a wonderful psychosomatic strategy to control the mind. You focus on one thing and all the other millions of things are the vrittis are quelled. And it's a very, very, which way? Straight. It's a very, very subtle path. And when you actually go through the Yoga Sutras, you actually realize why this path is not recommended in this age, that it was actually recommended in the Satya Yuga. Satya Yuga, people lived 100,000 years, and they were basically in sattva or goodness. And I described it was, there's a certain ego that they had, a certain subtle ego of, when you have a great qualifications, you like to use those qualifications. It's just like, I told you upstate someone, your person is doing Iron Man. So if he just does a marathon, he doesn't get pleasure. It's not a challenge. These people had by their karma, they were in the mode of goodness, and they actually preferred a process that had rigor and ardor. And that's why it describes sometimes that Vishwamitra Muni was meditating for 40,000 years. When you actually understand yoga and how this process works, you can understand it takes a long time, and of course the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita gives all the different prerequisites from celibacy to solitude. You just can't be distracted, you have to focus. So it gives the different objects of meditation, and it describes the result of actually achieving a level of competency in that type of meditation where the mind is actually quelled. So previously we discussed, and they discussed, there's two divisions of samadhi. Samprajnata Samadhi, Asamprajnata Samadhi, also called sub-beach samadhi and near-beach. Sub-beach means with a seed, with a support. The samadhi which requires the use of the material mind to stay focused. And then the perfection in this yoga system is when you're beyond the mind and the self is abiding in its own nature. So, Patanjali, it's such a great science, he divided the samadhi into seven stages. And it's a very wonderful thing because it's based on the realization of yogis, maybe the realization of even Patanjali himself, that there's seven general stages, and there's six in Prajnata, you're still using the mind. And it's very, very subtle. The first one is called Savitaraka, that you just meditate on an object, but that meditation is conflated with your own ideas or your own ideas and conceptions. So it's not considered a pure meditation. You're not really entering and focusing into the object. If you understand how the mind works, when the mind is material, it actually enters into the essence of the object. The mind itself becomes that object, basically. It's malleable. It's impressionable. And it creates this high degree of absorption. So that's called Subhitaraka. Then there's Nirvitaraka, and that is you're still meditating on the object, but you're meditating on the object, but purely without any filtering of the mind, or it's like intuitive. And you're actually, the object is impressed in the consciousness purely, without any conceptualization on your part. And I think it's just interesting just to repeat it again, to see the ardor and difficulty of this kind of mechanical process, and why Patanjali recommends Ishvara Pranidhana to meditate on God. You need help. You can't do this yourself. You can try, and some yogis do try. And then there's vichara. So subvichara, it means there's a subtleness beyond the object itself. Like, you know, like there's iceberg, but the iceberg is, you know, like vapors or water, or there's something more subtle to the object. And they go into the subtlety of the object. But it's within a space and time. And this is still the preliminary meditative practices. It's still within space and time. Then you go near Vichara Samadhi, and it's subtle, but you lose a sense of space. Somehow, time is material. Space is material. You go beyond that. And that's, you're still within Subhija or Samprajnata Samadhi. You're still not purely abiding in the nature of the soul. Then there's something else. I forgot what the next stage is called. And then something. And then there's six stages. And then a Samprajnata. So the verses I was going to discuss today, it was describing when you get to this fourth stage of samadhi, where you're not just meditating the object, but the subtlety of the object, and you go beyond time and space. Then you achieve a platform of goodness that gives you a lucidity of mind, a clarity of mind, that you have a clear conception that the soul is different than the body. And and that's the beginning, really, of beginning to imbibe in the nature of the soul. But you're still with the support of the mind. Then the concept that was going to be discussed today is pragya, or inner wisdom on this path. And it describes, you know, we describe that you have these impressions in the mind, these samskara, and then you come to the point where you're left with one thought in the mind, one impression in the mind. And that impression in the mind, you're going to have to give me directions.
Okay.
Yes. But there's one impression in the mind, and that impression in the mind, the only thought you have in the mind, is the wisdom of the futility of sense gratification and the necessity to subdue all thoughts. So you remain with just one, there's only one active vritti or thought within the mind, and that is this kind of discrimination and understanding that everything else should be subdued. It's in your interest.
What?
Say loud, baby.
Okay. Well, let's take this to kill a drive.
Well, I have no choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to speak loudly, okay, because I just...
Okay.
It's okay. I mean, that'll be the safest thing. They'll all understand. I'm getting driving direction, so... So it's the...
Left or right? Okay, Kelly Drive, the street.
Okay, Kelly Drive straight. Okay, so there's a subtlety of, it's that type of wisdom that one has that allows them to subdue. And then, somehow or other, at a particular point, and, you know, and at that point only, can you be free from suffering? When you have that kind of clarity, that's when there's really a kind of liberation. And but you're aware of the suffering of others. Interesting. And then, somehow you're eventually able to transcend that, and then it will come to a samprajnana samadhi. And then, The meditative absorption section, which is what we've been doing for the last 6 months, I believe, will be finished. And then you get into a very interesting section, which will start next week or the week after on practice. Now, while I'm just, that's without the book. There were a lot of good notes I had, but unfortunately not able to access them with both my hands on the wheel. And I am driving extremely, extremely careful. I'm being very careful not to go into any higher levels of samadhi, where I'm concentrating, I'm in samadhi, I'm concentrating very much on the object of the road and the object of the cars. So don't worry about me. And today was Balaram's appearance day, so... I wanted to mention one point that wasn't mentioned in the class, I think you like, is, you know, the nature of Balaram. It's a beautiful, beautiful conception of Godhead. Our conceptions of Radha Krishna, Krishna Balaram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're very, very, even if that's not your faith, they're very, very beautiful conceptions of God. So the conception of Krishna Balaram is that God is the supreme enjoy. That's a fundamental conception of Gaudiya Vaishnava theology, that if there's an absolute reality, the absolute reality is enjoying, and the absolute reality is enjoying love. Makes sense to me. I mean, if you're going to judge things logically, which means by how things work according to the laws that you see and the things you perceive, that's what we actually perceive. But that's the highest principle, is love. That's the most beautiful thing. What's beautiful? Selflessness. What's ugly? Selfishness.
So that ultimate realm, rasa, vaisa, it works on this platform. And God himself enjoys love, which means he loves. Because you can't enjoy love from someone that you don't love. So for God to enjoy love, he must love. So, beautiful concept that there's Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, and his first expansion. And the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is Balaram's white, Krishna's black. And Balaram expands for service. The Prabhupada makes the beautiful statement that Balaram serves Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. Of all affairs in existence and knowledge. So everything expands, all work. And those are the two works in creation. The two works in creation are existential, that existence, and cognitive, the knowledge, that there's understanding. And so Balaram does all this, but the thing that which is interesting, so Krishna enjoys in Vrindavan. Krishna is just enjoying. And my favorite story is Prabhupada would glorify, one of my favorite stories, would glorify his godbrother, this German man who was his godbrother, who was looking for God, and he searched all over. When he came to India, he looked at all the deities. And all the deities, Kali, Bhairava, you know, they had forks and pitchforks, and they looked like they were working hard. And when he saw Krishna with a flute, he said, yes, that's God. God must be enjoying. So the concept of Krishna is in the pure original manifestation of God. God is enjoying. And what is he enjoying? He's enjoying rasa. He's enjoying the liquid, nectar, mellow flow of loving exchanges. So everything in creation, the work of existence, the work of giving knowledge, Krishna enjoys pleasure, but the work and the knowledge, that's carried out by Balaram. So it's very interesting, the parallel between Lord Nityananda, who's Balaram in Gaur-lila, and Krishna. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to Puri in the last days of his life. Last 18 years, but really in the last 12 years, maybe less, really goes into this Nirjan Bhajan, where he wants to relish this rasa, this highest pleasure, in the form and the mood of his greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani. So Krishna is, it's just so funny, I saw this building in the future, and I thought it was the Jagannath Mandir. It was just like an illusion, it was a skyscraper in the distance. So he's in Puri. And what's the work of God in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That's the external reason for his descent. The work is to spread Krishna consciousness. And the internal reason, what he does for himself is to relish that mood. So he relishes, so who does the work? Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is sent outside. The work of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is to spread the glories of the holy name and to preach Krishna consciousness. So it's a beautiful, beautiful concept. It's a beautiful parallel. But also there's another very wonderful thing, is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Radharani. So in Krishna Lila, Radharani cannot enjoy fully when Balaram's there, because Balaram's the older brother of Krishna. She loves Krishna. And you can't open your heart in full rasa, full relationship to your lover when his older brother is there. Especially in Indian culture, the older brother is like a father figure almost, or has that parental mood. And you can't enjoy intimate dealings with mother or spouse in the presence of those who have the parental mood towards you. So in Krishna Lila, you never see Balaram
when there's Radha and Krishna. So similarly, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radharani, then Nityananda Balaram could not be in Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, come every year. You don't need to come every year. You should just stay outside. Because he wanted a relish. So these parallels are very, very interesting. And we're reading about Balaram, and also not only Balaram, but the fact and the significant fact that Prabhupada established Krishna Balaram deities. Wasn't as many ideas why, but we know at least what Prabhupada said. And he did say two things directly, why he established those deities. One, Itai is not well known to the world, and he wanted to show they were not different. So Prabhupada established Krishna Balaram and Gornitai. Prabhupada also said that because his mission was so much to share these teachings, and as we know, even with the example of Jesus Christ, it's not easy to share spiritual knowledge. Strength is needed, and therefore Balaram. Balaram means strength, and Ram means pleasure. So Balaram means the strength to attract one to the highest pleasure. You know what we got?
I know we are on the strength.
Okay. That's about what I can do for today, but would anyone like to say hello or even ask a question? Are people still there?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Jagat Mahabhala Vaishnav.
Hello?
Hare Krishna.
Who's that?
This is Gail and Amelia.
This is Gail?
Yeah, and Amelia too said something.
Okay, good.
Simultaneously.
okay, that's good.
I do have a question.
Go ahead, Gail.
You know, you were discussing the six stages of Sampragata Samadhi.
Yes.
And I got lost after, you know, when you got to, I guess, five and six. I was only able to follow you
right.
To...
What's that?
Yeah. Huh?
Right or left?
Oh.
Okay, Gad, one second. Gail, ask again. Six stages, some forget the samadhi.
Yeah, and I think when you got maybe to five and six, I
forgot what five is.
Okay.
I forgot the name. Oh, five is Ananda. And what happens is, I'll tell you what stage five is. There, you know, the elements are... become more and more subtle. For example, the sense objects are the most gross. There's nothing grosser than the sense objects. So the senses are more subtle than the sense objects. And then there's something called tanmatra. There's a subtle sense object. And then the most subtle of all material, the most subtle of all materials, objects is prakriti, matter. So you kind of come down in the meditation where you're able to meditate on the
pull down or we're going to turn into one.
270.
Left? Yes.
Left?
Yes. Okay. So, that's the... I'm going to have to pay attention. I'm going to go a little slower. I'm going to say which way to go.
Okay. That's the most subtle. So, it's going on because... This is not even... Which way do I go?
You turn it this way.
Okay. It's the most subtle. Right? I guess there's no other way I can go. It's the most subtle. So, east you want to go, it's west.
You know, to the junction.
Okay. You. What? This way?
Yes.
Here? Here?
Yes. Yes.
I'm being very careful. So, the most subtle thing... So, it matters at that state. It's the pure state of matter. It's sattva. And the nature of contacting matter at its most subtle state is ananda, or pleasure. It's not brahmananda. What? What?
Come on.
What?
Come off as good as you can.
Okay.
First exit we're going to get.
Okay. Well, we can get back if I just take out my GPS.
I know where we're at. Since we have to turn it around.
Well, I can just, you know, my GPS will get us there in a second.
Just have to go along the direction.
All right, but the GPS, you don't know where the GPS is. Just pull it out. It's in the glove box. So, Gail, that's the most... Yeah, I'll plug it in. Right here. It's the most subtle, and therefore it's not even brahmananda, but it's pleasure, intense pleasure, and in the mode of goodness. And then there's asmita. Asmita literally means I-ness. There's some kind of contact with the soul. But that contact with the soul, that sense of the soul, is still in relationship to matter. Did I answer your question, Gail?
Yeah, but of course, this is not a conversation we can have during a phone song, and you are... then you are...
You want to be kind to me, right?
Yeah. Anyway, Maharaj, you know where I am?
Hold this. Where?
I'm at the site of many grotesque people.
Where are you, Gail?
At the site of where you can find many grotesque people. Oh, I'm at Walmart.
Gail, I'm shocked. why do you say grotesque? There's many nice people here. Don't be like that. That's not nice.
Well, I'm there too, so I can't complain too much.
Well, we can't even get the satellite here. All right. So, do you have any? Just put this up on the dish.
Okay. Half a mile.
What?
The extra half
a mile. Okay. In ecstasy, we're getting lost, but it's not funny because you have to get back to your. That guy, you want to give him a call? Yeah, give him a call. Hey, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Amila again.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell you that on Sunday we went to the first annual Krishna Balaram Yatra in Queens.
Yeah.
there was Krishna Balaram Yatra, and there was also a beautiful pair of Gourmet Thai Bear Tips.
Wait, wait,
parade.
One second.
What? We're just going to turn and see if we can get back on going in the opposite direction.
Okay, tell me where.
Let me see what this sign says on the field. There's Roosevelt's question.
Okay, Ravindra Shroop Prabhu told me all about it. Was it nice?
Oh, yes. It was raining like crazy, but it was totally ecstatic. Wonderful.
It was nice. Okay,
absolutely
great.
Wonderful.
As you can turn,
yes.
Slow down.
Yeah.
At the point, you're going to cross over.
Okay.
You can cross here. And then here, you can cross, and you go back.
It says no turn.
Okay, we'll turn that way, and we'll go back. We're going to just go up here a little bit.
Okay.
We're going to turn
I'm
going
to tell you what's going to happen now. My man's going to take over.
You're tired. Huh? We have to turn around. And we can do that here. We'll pull over here.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Recalculating.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Karunika in New Zealand.
Then turn right.
Okay. Karunika. Hi, Krishna.
This class has given me the realization of why I'm not supposed to sew when I'm listening to Srimad Bhagavatam class.
Why?
Why? Because I'm listening to how difficult it has been for you to give this class while you're driving the car.
I didn't find it difficult at all.
I'm misjudged.
I hope it was okay.
Whatever you say is always okay, Mara.
All right, okay. Anybody else like to say? Okay, thank you, Karunika.
Turn right.
Anybody else like, thank you very much. Anybody else like to say hello?
Drive.
A lot of people
four,
actually.
Nine,
at,
then turn right.
Another reason why I mean I could have went back early or I couldn't, but I thought today there won't be that many people because a lot of people are at Balaram functions. Okay. Thank you all. Thank you all. Let's go through this draft.